Today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Dalet, Mishnah He. So, the question that we have over here is what actually defines things as a kli, binogeya, the special elements that have to do with Tumah V'Taira. So, we know that when it comes to certain things, such as the Zof and the Zofa, or such as the Mechatas, or such as the Din of a Mitzora, where we're supposed to Shecht Tzipor, and we then sprinkle it on the Mitzora, over there we have a special halacha, remember, of Maim Chaim. And generally speaking, Mayim Chayim is spring water that is flowing, and it can't also has to be in its original form. It can't be warm water coming out of a hot springs. It can't be filled with all kinds of minerals that were in those springs and so on. So what we'd like to know now is what the din is. We know the mechatas in three ways have to be relating to something that is in a keli, mayim chayim el keli, and that is, first of all, we mix the kiddush, we mix the actual efer hapara into that, and we also have to dip into that, and we're talking about the special halacha of the sprinkling, the eitz eres, the ezov. The Ezov has to be dipped into specifically a mechatas, and that would mean in a kli, and we have to collect that mayim, specifically, remember, in mayim chayim el keli. So now suppose you have a shoket that was attached to the ground. Now, yesterday we talked about what would be the din of I think we did the Mishnah yesterday. No, we didn't. Sorry. I'm jumping ahead. So we're starting today. I'm sorry. I thought we were already ahead from where we were. We're starting over here with the din of Kiva'o Ulabasov Chokoko. So that means we took this rock and it was actually in the ground completely before it was a kli. It was just an old fashioned shoket. And then we turned it, we turned it into a shoket once it was in the ground. That shoket is not considered to be a kli, and therefore it's not mayim chayim el keli. So if spring water now goes into that shoket, which was hollowed out only when it was already part of the ground, you cannot use it for the kiddush mechatas. You can't use it for the milui mechatas. You can't use it for the hazor from the mechatas, because the Torah was mechayev you to begin with mayim chayim el keli, and this is not a keli. Only something that was a kli when it was not mechurba to the ground is considered to be a kli. And because of that, it's not considered to be a kli legabe the dinim of mayim shuvim. When it comes to the halacha of tumas ohel, so remember, if something is a kli that is not mekabel tuma, so let's say it's a kli cheres, not mekabel tuma from its outside, or it's a kli avonim, not mekabel tuma at all, and you have something that is tahor inside that kli, and that kli is in an ohel in which there is a body. The din is that the Torah says, if you have a tzomit pasil, you remember all these halakhas. I'm just saying it slowly to remind you. If it has a tzomit pasil, so it has a cover that fits tightly over it, it is able to be matzil be'oel hames. It's not considered to be in that oel hames because it's completely protected. Since the tumah can't get in through the airspace because it's airtight sealed, and the tumah can't get in through the kli because the kli is not mekabel tumah either at all, or not mekabel tumah from the outside. So it provides a security for, let's say, food that you put into it, and you cover it over with the tzomit basil, And these are all, you can order these on Amazon under Tummy Pasil. Make sure that it's tight fitting, and that way you won't have a problem in an oil hames. What's the din of, let's say, a pit that you have? You have a cistern in your house. So then would it need a Tzamit Pasil in order to protect something that's inside of it from Tuma? Absolutely not. It would just need to be covered. So if you put something over a cistern in the floor, which is not a kli, then it's not in the Ohel HaMeit. That's all. Because you don't have the mix in the same airspace in the oil. It's only a kli which would have been bottled to the Ohel HaMeit that needs the Tzamit Pasil. Fine. So this, in this case, getting back to that halacha, since over here it was first attached to the ground and then it was hollowed out, so then it's completely different. And if it's in an Ohel HaMeit and there's food, let's say, inside of it, it's not a kli in the Ohel HaMeit. It's just like a bor in the Ohel HaMeit. Ve'ena tzrichat samit patil. And because of that, you could be matzil anything inside of it from Tumas HaMeis simply by putting a book over it. That's all. Wouldn't have to be an Amazon certified Tzamit Pasil at all. This is just a warning. These new Chinese made Tzamit Pasils, they usually fail. Don't be samech on. But this wouldn't even need a Tzamit Pasil. And what would be the din if Mayim Sheuvim, if Mayim falls into it? They're not called Sheuvim. So if you have Shloisha Lugin Mayim from this carved out rock, that's not considered to be a shoket at all. It's not a kli. It looks like a shoket, but it doesn't have the din of a real shoket. Now, what about if the other way around? What about if it was a kli before you ever cemented it to the ground? So first you hollowed it out, turned it into a kli, and then you were mechabered it, besid, you used cement to connect it to the ground. Once it's a kli, connecting it to the ground in that fashion does not mevatel the shem kli from it, and in that case, it's still called a kli. And therefore, you can still be mamale the mayim that's coming from an actual spring into it, and it would be kodesh for miloy for mechatas. You could be mekadesh ba mechatas by putting it, mixing the ashes of the poradum in it, and you could even dip into it the ezov, and you could be mazin mimeno because it's 100% a kli. What's more, if it's in the Ohel HaMeis, it's a fascinating situation. You have two situations which look exactly the same. You have a piece of bread in this trough in the ground, and in one case, a book over it is going to be enough to be matzilit, and in the other case, you'd have to have a tzamit pasil. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference. You'd have to know what makes it a kli, the fact that it had been made a kli before it was attached to the ground. So you need to have more than the evidence of the current situation of your eyes to know whether you need a tzamit pasil or not. And in this case, if shlosh alugin mayim were held inside of this previously turned into a kli, which means chokuko, I think this should be a gavi thing, chokuko lebesof kovo or kovo lebesof chokuko, because those are the technical words that actually define these two situations. So in that case, if it was chokoko lebesof kovo, the water inside of it would pasel a mikvah, and it would be shlosh alugin before there was arboim sa, that would pasel it just like any other kli. Now, how about if we have a kli which is mekabel tuma, would be a normal kli, but it has a hole in it. So now, if it was nikva milamata, so suppose this kli that you made, and this doesn't have to be a shoket, any kli that was unable to hold water, because it has a hole right on the bottom, or it has a hole on the side, right at the place where the side comes to the bottom, which means that it really will not be able to hold any kind of water, so then it's not considered to be a kli either. And any water that's inside of it is not going to pass the mikveh. But kama yiyeh benekev, kishvoferet hanod. Now this is a very confusing, big machlokas rishonim, how to read these words. You first said that if it's any yechola lekabel mayim, it's not a kli at all. And then you say, and how big does the hole have to be? What the heck just happened over here? Who cares how big the hole is? It can't hold water. So does it really matter what the size of the hole is? Not to mention the fact that Shvoferet Hanod usually is a completely different issue. The Shvoferet Hanod should be connecting to the next piece of the Mishnah, which is about the famous case of the Shoket Yehu, which we'll discuss in a moment. And that is a big machlokas rishonim. Is this a whole new Mishnah? Because the kama yeh benekev doesn't mean in the case of having a hole in a kli, legabe this din of whether it's a kli, but rather is the normal din that we've seen. Shvoferet Hanod is always for what din? The din of hashaka, right? So yesterday we talked about hamshakha, and today we're going to talk about hashaka. So that of hashaka, which we mentioned earlier, is the halacha that if you have water that is in some type of area that's not kosher for a mikveh, it doesn't have arboim saw, it's filled maybe with mayim she'uvim, which is standard in the mikvahs that we have today. You fill up the mikveh, and then you open up a hole between that mikveh. You all have all seen this, obviously, in the mikveh. There's usually a plug. You take out that plug. That plug is a shvoferet hanod. The shear of a shvoferet hanod is to put your two first fingers into it and to be able to switch, to flip your fingers around without encountering problems of shifshuf against the side. That's considered to be one mikveh if it mixes one mikveh with the other. That's Beis Hillel Shita, and that's how we paskin. So when we suddenly introduce the hole here as a shvoferet hanod, it doesn't seem to be connected to the previous case. It seems to be a strange introduction to the next case. And in fact, that's how the Rosh learns, and that's how the Rosh learns. However, the Rambam understands that it is connected, and so do some of the Mefarshei HaMishnah who follow his approach, according to which there's all types of discussion. So how did the din of shvoferet hanod suddenly come into the question if it's unable to hold water? So probably the most reasonable explanation is that there's two different dinim. One is nikva milamata. So if it was nikva milamata, so then it's considered to not be a kli at all. But if it was nikva min hatzad, even though that's all the way on the place where the side now comes and attaches to the bottom, nonetheless, there it needs to be a shear that is considered to be mevatel totally from a shem kli, and it requires a shvoferet hanod. I must tell you, not totally persuasive, but at least it has a mocker in the Tosefta. And because of that, we could say that that maybe is what it's talking about. But let's assume the other case. So if we're talking about a shvoferet hanod as an introduction, now, by the way, Gavi, this din shvoferet hanod may be nogea the distance of a temple on a new pair of glasses from the side of one's head. If you could stick in your fingers and it goes round about, then the glasses are too large for your head. So it's also a very important halacha in the... Okay, so let's assume that what we're talking about is shvoferet hanod as... Sorry. They're very pretty, though, as an introduction to the next piece. So Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, there was a maisa b'shoket Yehu, shaita b'Yerushalayim, v'haita nekuva kishvoferet hanod. So the shvoferet hanod, again, is usually put in, it's called a shvoferet hanod, because usually if you have these a leather container, which is used as a water bottle, as a wine bottle, this was the standard size of a Coke bottle's opening in those days. So what happened was over there, nasot al gaba. Everybody was relying that even though this was not water that was kosher for the mikveh, But since it was connected to a real mikveh with a shofar tanod that was next to it, so everybody relied on that. And they would be tevel all of their things in this shoket. Now, Beit Shammai sent Talmidim there, and they busted it to open up, classic Beit Shammai approach, let's just go straight to the jugular. So they broke the side of the mikveh that it had been connected to in a way that most of the side was busted instead of just this little size of shofar tanod, because that's the shita of Beit Shammai. It's only the rov, as we'll see in a moment, because they hold shebeit Shammai omrim ad shipachet ruba. So a shofar tanod is not enough to connect water that's not kosher to water that is kosher. You have to have the rov of whatever the wall is between them mixing over the whole area. That would make it a single mikveh. But that was Beit Shammai shita. But in reality, that's why our Mishnah opens up with Kamaye Benekev to be Mechaber, meaning it's taken for granted that you're connected to this next piece in the Mishnah. Halacha Lamaisa Kamaye Benekev Kishvoferet Hanod, which of course is our standard mikveh today. All right, gentlemen, this concludes the wonderful, we don't even have someone to give us the Bli Neder, so I'll have to do it myself. Hadron Alach HaMeniach Bli Neder. Okay, moving on, Bezrat Hashem, to Perek Hamishi tomorrow. Kol Tov. Always so exciting. Baruch Hashem.